Welcome everyone to the Sports Weekender here on Planet FM. If you listen on 104.6 FM or on planetaudio.org.nz, I hope you enjoy the show today. We will try and entertain you as best we can, and there's probably going to be a few faux pas from me. Just looking at the weather out there, 19 degrees out there. Ooh, it's still a bit muggy, but it's been a bit cold. Anyway, before we get on to our first guests, a big shout out to Father Ted's Original Irish Pub. They're based at 1 Wellesley Street West in the Auckland CBD. They have a selection of local craft and international beers on tap. They have a selection of bottled beers, fine wines, good food, music. Wednesday through to Sunday. So make Father Ted's your location to go to. Their number is 09-377-3142, or you can email them fatherteds@hotmail.com. We just had a very, wouldn't say this is going to be the best round of Super Rugby, but we will. So there's been a lot of things happening. Obviously we had Super Rugby, and Dave Rennie has named his assistants here to chat to us, as he does every Saturday. Former All Black great, and he was a great All Black, and he will tell you that. AJ Whitten, good morning to you.
Hi, good morning to you, Piggy. I am a very humble man. I only mention it when I'm out, which is around about six times a week. So, yeah. Apart from that, I'm a very much stay-at-home person. But, good to be on the show and good to hear you.
Oh, it's always good to hear from you, AJ, mate. Hey, anyway, we might as well kick it off. Highlanders 39, Moana Pacific 19. Obviously, if you live across on the shore, obviously you're having big power issues because we lost the match for 20 minutes. Anyway, but looking at this game, Highlanders, really, Caleb Tangatau, if he's not in the Dave Rennie's first All Black squad, I'm going to say, what has he done wrong? Impressed with Shearer, the halfback. He really had a bit of go to. And of course, young Jack Taylor, the hooker. Nico Jones scored a good try. And of course, he is the son of the great Michael Jones. And Latu on debut, very impressive. But, you know, all in all, it wasn't the greatest game. A lot of mistakes made, AJ.
Yeah, it was one of those games where, I think even the league was on as well for the Wires, but they got their spanked as well. So not a good start for the Wires on the Friday. But look, the game's stopped and start. A lot of ill discipline, and there are a few yellow cards. I think at one stage the Minor Pacifica had 13 on the field, but still managed to score a try, believe it or not. But just a bit loose, really was all over. Peggy, 27-0 at half time, something like that, or 27-7. So they'd already done the hard work the first half. And then I just think the Highlanders went on holiday, and the game just seemed to lose its stature and accuracy. So yeah, a couple of good performances out there. You mentioned the boy Shearer playing quite tidy. Renton Masaka. Good to see Masaka on, actually. I was quite impressed with the number 7. But,
yeah, very good.
Say, ill-discipline, lack of accuracy, and it just shows you where they are in 20 minutes to go. Maybe the gods were smiling and thought, you know what, everybody, we've all had enough. we're taking it off here. Poor Sky TV, they had obviously not enough, and the lights just couldn't function, so everyone got a wee bit of a break. And I don't think the score changed from 39-19 with 20 to go. So really, what did we miss?
Well, nothing.
People there. Yeah, it was a tough one.
It was a tough one to watch, and you know what I've just said about Caleb Tangatau, he has to be in the mix of that All Black squad.
Yeah, he's taking his opportunities, and that's what you want to see with a winger. And he will be somewhere in the mix. I have no doubt. I'm just not sure where, but he is one of the wingers that's scoring tries, and that's what you certainly want to do.
Absolutely. So then we went across to Canberra, and I have to say, I looked at it. What was it? The Waratahs 30, Brumbies 28. Bit of an upset, but I have to say, their first five, Harvey, he was very good. Their front row was very good for the Waratahs. They got a lot of scrum penalties. Valentini, as per usual, for the Brumbies. But yet again, not one of the greatest games of rugby to watch.
Yeah, it was just that, I think, I mean, the precursor was the first game we watched at North Harbour, and maybe it rolled on, but the Brumbies at home, they're not quite the side they have in the past, because it was, you know, 9 times out of 10 they'd have a victory there, they're playing at home, a bit like a fortress. They've scraped through against the Blues, and they've lost a couple local ones. So, and they lost this one, and they do deserve to lose it too, because they were, the Tars were right on them, in their face. Defensively, probably one of the better performances I've seen from them. And they got out to 3 tries. And then, of course, it was catch-up rugby from then on with the Brumbies. I thought their front row, you mentioned, Dobbins, Boater and Lambert, very good in that front row, put a lot of pressure on them. And Sam is always a tough hombre at number 8 there, and with Hahaloa, they ran very hard at the defence and obviously dragged 2 or 3 in, and there was some space out wide. Once again, we mentioned this guy Jorgensen for the Waratahs.
Oh, yeah,
he's got some wheels, and he's got some skills too. He seems to be dangerous every time he gets the ball in his mitts. So I'm looking forward to seeing him in the Aussie jersey as the season kicks on later into that test atmosphere. So, yeah, again, not a game of great heights, but the Waratahs will be absolutely over the moon in winning a match there at Canberra.
Absolutely, and then we go to today's game, 4:35 in Wellington, and it's the Hurricanes versus the Reds. This one should be a really good match, and, you know, there's been a lot of talk about this Hurricanes side. Now, the Reds, okay, you would pick the Hurricanes on paper, but this Reds side, you know, they're no mugs as well too, AJ.
No, this is probably the game of the round. As they say, the Reds having not a bad start to this season. I see Laidlaw's made about 3 changes to the side. Kept that great combination, obviously, 9 and 10. And say the Hurricanes probably looking the forerunners at this stage of the season. Piggy, Roy Garden Love there. You've got to look at their back line. I mean, solid as Barrett, Proctor, Sutherland, I think's changed when Morby's gone to fullback. One thing I do like about Craig Laidlaw, he doesn't make wholesale changes. And it's only 2 or 3 changes at a time, and solid back. I mean, Flanders again leading the charge there, Lakai, Karippi. I mean, these are starting to become regular names in a team on a regular basis. So, and that huge front row there, I see Tyrrell Lomax has come back in, Amua, as solid as him. And Les Kiss, of course, he's got his red sides going quite well there. McCrate's back. He'll bring a lot of energy and accuracy to that back row, and he's their skipper, so he's vital to their team. So, yeah, and they'll put a big match up at the start, but I still see the Hurricanes going away with 10 to 15 points on this one.
Yeah, you can just look at the loose forward combinations for both sides. I think that loose forward battle will be so intriguing, AJ. Anyway,
that is the one. It's the loose, and I like watching the loose forwards because I see because they're thinkers. They've got a bit of stuff upstairs.
Oh yeah. Well, that's the modern day. That's the modern day loose forward for you, AJ. Not like some of these guys from the late '80s.
Oh, touche, old man, touche.
Anyway, we move on. Of course, tonight at Eden Park, the Blues versus the Fijian Drua. This will be for the Joelle Vendieri Trophy, which Joelle Vendieri, or the late Joelle Vendieri, was one of the originators of the original Blues side, a superstar. So, you know, a bit of respect and congratulations for both franchises for supporting this. I look at this Blues side. Yeah, big Stern Verney's made a few changes, obviously, but it's actually the Blues have actually, you know, they've been at times frustrating to watch, but at other times they've been a pleasure to watch. Torben Barnes, he's the guy that's really impressed me, is AJ, but Fiji and Drua, they may provide competition. They were training at Eden the other day, so I did get to see a number of them. But so, I don't know. I think this Blues side's just far too good, even with the amount of changes they've made.
Yeah, it's like most rounds when it comes up, and I don't know if it's any disrespect to either Moana Pacifica or Fiji Drua, but you seem to give some of your bench players a start on the run-on, and some of the reserves, obviously, a run in this competition. And you see Peyton Spencer, obviously, coming on as a start for his first match at Eden Park. Clark's there, Forbes. You've got Barrett and Fanato there. He's coming at number 9 jersey. You mentioned the loose forward and Barnes. Yes, Rampling's kept his spot, and Signer's on at number 7. So I think Barry's leading the captaincy this week. So, yep, still too strong on paper. I just see Jackson, Glenn Jackson's he's made a couple of changes. I see Valentini's coming at number 10 for them. So, look, it's going to be an exciting game in some ways, because we know if Fiji get enough quality ball, and then that's the word, quality ball, we could see some of their backs light up Eden Park. And wouldn't that be great in respect of the late Joe Alley, who was really one of the stars of the early on in his career at Eden Park with Lomu on the wings. What a combination. But I always loved catching up with Joe Alley. That I used to call him the smiling assassin. That smile of his that would light up any room, and not just a tremendous rugby player, Peggy. What a great man, a human being, and to lose him was really sad for just people in general. So and playing for the his Memorial Carver Bowl, nice respect, and get out to the park. And
I think it's great respect. Yeah, I think it's great respect, because when Super Rugby first started, he was one of the big stars of Super Rugby. And
well, he was actually, would you say, you know, more in your face than Jonah at that stage. And as I say, he used to light up, but like in my day with old TJ Wright and JK.
But JK and TJ, but I think my old mate Terry Wright, I think comparing size with Lomu and there might be a slight difference, because he
they would have used him as a toothpick.
He's kind of, I saw Terry Wright would have been, God, about 13, 14 years ago during the World Cup in Rotorua. Hasn't changed at all. Still no. Has that.
I know he has. He's let himself go. He's put on a kilo.
Anyway, we better move on. So next up, we've got the Force versus the Chiefs. I'm going to be straight to the point. Chiefs, they really need this win for their own confidence, because, to be quite honest with you, they let that game against the Waratahs go. They really need to get back on top. They've got probably one of the best lineups out of all the Super Rugby sides, and for Jono Gibbs, he must be absolutely frustrated.
That's what comes when you're coaching any side, whether it be international, whether it be your NPC or Super Rugby, even club teams. I guess you all go through those phases, but you're absolutely right. They lost their match against the Tars. Now they're on tour. They've gone up to play at HBF Park in Perth. So this is a must win, and he's put out a side accordingly. But he's going to have to work hard against it. He's got Beale and Donaldson, that nice little combination in Perth there, and Bridge. The Kiwi out at centre. Kick Robinson at number 9. Big Dave Swain up at number 5 there. He always gets a bit of ball from him. And I think Champion de Crisna, he's come back in the number 7. He's a little live wire, so he'll be in their faces. But on paper, as you said, Biggie, they should be too strong and too big, and they should be too angry after losing last week. They've let a couple of games slip away. So they'll be hurting. They need the 4 or 5 points. Parker there at number 8. Fennell's on the side with Jacobson captaining there. And Jacobson's in at number 10. And they put DMAC out at 15. So I think it goes to show you, they're going to look at counter. Any opportunities they get, bring them into the back line, create some space, and see if they can put this team away pretty quickly. Just got to be careful. They've got to do those hard yards up front, because the Force certainly will not get up too easily. And they like playing at home. So I expect them to win, but well, they'll have to work hard for
them. Absolutely. And of course, the big reveal, obviously, Dave Rennie has named his assistants Neil Barnes, Mike Blair, and Tana Umanga. Really, Neil Barnes, I'm I think that's a really good call. Neil Barnes is one of these old straight shooters. He reminds me a bit, and you probably reminds you a bit of, you know, the late Alex Wiley. He reminds you a bit of some of the old style coaches you used to see. There's also probably, and I'm going back memories, going generations back, probably a bit of Tank Herring in there as well too.
Oh, Tank, he goes, okay, you are rolling out the old TV reels. I think he was in Group Attack support, Barnes, because he's been around, he's done his time, again, he's travelled the world a bit, he gets experience, he knows Dave Green pretty well, so that's where they've got a great combination. He's been a great servant for rugby in general, right through clubs, right through the Taranaki, where he's an icon there. And just the way he carries himself, he speaks just simple terms, which we all understand. We don't have to get out a dictionary and find out what these words mean. He's obviously a man with a lot of passion for rugby and a lot of knowledge. And he seems to be able to converse really well with the current players that he is with a Taranaki, and I'm sure he will with the All Blacks. I think he'll be a breath of fresh air. No nonsense. Tell it as it is. If you're playing bloody well, he'll tell you. If you're playing crap, he'll probably say, nah, you're playing crap, boys. Just pick it up. So a breath of fresh air. And as I said, I think the response from the public, there hasn't been any really negativity yet, Peggy. So, it's a promising start on paper at least.
Yeah, and the main thing is that obviously Tana comes into the thing, and obviously the biggest thing, not only, obviously Tana's done, has coached for a while, but I think the biggest asset I can see what Tana does, he knows about wearing that jersey, he knows the pride and he knows the pressure, but he also knows what an honour it is to wear that jersey and to respect that jersey.
That's a fair call. I'll just temper it with a bit of fact that he's there as a coach, not as a player. Been there, done that. I know he's got all the experience, but I for one will be looking at how that defence is working, because that's been one of our weak areas in contention. So he's there to do a job. Like you've got a part, what you've done on the ground, it's not your time now. You're there to coach. You've got to make sure it all works on the field and work with those other three or four men. So I'm sure he'll bring his thoughts to the party, and looking forward to it all come together, because if it does, I think we could have a pretty good time.
Yeah, and I think everyone's just looking forward to this, looking forward to, you know, to see how this goes. Like, obviously, it's a big year in New Zealand rugby, and, you know, I think I've mentioned it many times, but, you know, it's just a, I think, I just believe now we've got our guy, we can move ahead. We can move ahead, and that's the main thing. Anyway, AJ, what are the plans for the weekend, mate?
We're going to pop around and see Fenton Little and Tigger and Lamala. We're all going to watch. They're going to watch the game. I'm going to drop Mrs. Whedon off. I'm going to be there at the park. Then on Sunday, we'll just clean out the garage. I think she wants me to do a few tools and just throw out some of those baby clothes. So I'll drop them at your door on Monday.
I was thinking, yep, here we go. When's the insults going to happen?
They're beautiful. They'll fit you nicely.
First of all, you had girls, and I'm a guy, okay? At the end of the day is, and plus, if you've seen the size of me lately, as you did when we had that bit of a few beverages and a few bets, I don't think, I as you know, I'm packing at the moment. I'm packing a lot of weight, and there's a lot of me to share around. So,
well, that could be an incentive for you to lose weight. Anyway, put a couple together and then help me out. So I'll drop them around anyway. So you give them what you want.
Good. Yeah, well, I don't know what to say. Goodbye.
Have a good weekend.
Cheers mate. AJ Wheaton, as per usual, yes, you think that you can get through a show without an insult, but he always gets me, but it was great on this big weekend ahead of Super Rugby. It'll be interesting. Also, we've got some club rugby coming up, and that's where we're going to go next. Now, this club rugby segment is brought to you by Force Electrical. And just a bit about Force Electrical. They were started in 2014 by my good mate Nick Brakovich, and has grown into a trusted name across the wider Auckland northern region. And this is why you should choose them. Reliability and knowledge that sets them apart. They stay ahead of the latest industry standards and technology. And what they do, well, they can do anything, residential, commercial projects, ongoing electrical maintenance, solar panel systems with inverters and battery storage, and ELV solutions. So, you know, at the end of the day is, if you're looking for, you know, reliability and your knowledge and any and a decent bloke as well too, give Nick a call at Force Electrical. His number is 021-628-341, or you can email nick@forceelectrical.co.nz. And thank you so much, Brax, for being part of this show. Anyway, we better get on to it. We just spoke with Stephen Harris this morning, and we will just be looking at a bit of club rugby at this stage. Welcome everyone back to the Sports Weekend. Now we're going to talk a bit of club stuff, and here to join us, and he's actually down in Karapiro, is the wonderful Stephen Harris. How are you, mate?
I'm very, very good, thank you. I'm all just in our commentary box area, just waiting for the fog to lift. But hey, it's always a privilege and a pleasure, never a chore to be on your show, fella. But second day of the National Dragon Boat Championships, and definitely looking forward to what should be a big day. But we're just waiting for the fog to lift at this stage. So
yeah,
and of course, the fog's well and truly lifted on club rugby, I believe.
Yeah, well, last week, I think we needed to slap ourselves a wet bus ticket, because we should have mentioned about Northland, and I've had a few people from Northland giving me a bit of a very, very hard time. So obviously round one was completed. Well, the scores there, and of course Mid-Northern look very, very good, don't they?
Yeah, of course they got out of the rocks pretty quick up in Northland, and that Northland competition started last weekend. Started with Mid-Northern v Horror hosting the team that is the current champions from last year, taking out that result by 61 points to nil. You felt a bit for Horror, they had a few unavailabilities. So Mid-Northern too good. OBM travelled to Kerikeri. Too good for Kerikeri, 17-0. And Hikarangi also travelled to Otamatea. Too good for Otamatea, 50 points to 19. And in the final game, it seems like the away teams are all getting the job done last weekend. Ngāti Hen and Moirua, too good for Western Sharks, 46 points to 35. But even after round one, Mid-Northern pretty much setting the benchmark.
Anyway, let's get on to round two in Northland Rugby. Omatea versus Western Sharks. Carmo versus Kerikeri. Old Boys Maris versus Hikarangi. Ngāti Hene Moriwa versus Horahora. And Mid-Northern versus Wellsford.
Well, if it was probably a case of the away teams winning last weekend, maybe I'll pick the home sides, but I still think Western Sharks. Otamatea new to the First Division. They had been down in playing Southern Districts rugby, but they managed to get a reserve grade team in the comp, so they're playing in the top league. They did go down last weekend to Hikarangi, but I think Western Sharks, the travelling team, could be too strong.
Carmo versus Kerikeri, you'd have to go Carmo.
Yeah, both first round losers, these two teams, but I'm expecting Carmo at home to bounce back. They were a little unlucky not to have beaten Wellsford last weekend, but yeah, I think they'll come out of the blocks at home in front of their home crowd.
Okay, and then, of course, we have Old Boys Maris versus Hikarangi.
Yeah, Old Boys Maris versus Hikarangi, that could be the game of the round. Both first round winners, OBM, probably a little bit too strong for Carmo last weekend. I'm expecting them to come out on top.
And Ngāti Hene Moriwa versus Horahora.
Yeah, real interesting side. A lot of grizzly old veterans in that Ngāti Hene Moriwa side, and Horahora with some young guns. I believe they'll have a few players back on deck this particular weekend. So I'm expecting Ngāti Hene at home possibly to be too strong.
And of course, Mid-Northern versus Wellsford.
Mid-Northern, they're going to be far too strong for Welsford. Welsford, it's their centenary year, but I think Mid-Northern will be far too stronger.
Anyway, we've moved down a bit down the motorway as we head towards North Harbour and kick us off. Maharangi versus Kumu. Probably two teams, I think, maybe at the bottom end of the table, Stephen.
Yeah, I suspect you're right. I think those...
Stephen?
It could be quite an even game. It's the sort of game you'd probably love to be in if you had a little bit of time up your sleeve. But I think I'll go... In this case, I think I'll go for Maharangi, the home team.
Helensville versus East Coast Bays. You have to go for East Coast Bays on that, I think.
Yeah, interesting enough, I saw East Coast Bays firsthand last weekend, pre-season game against Waitemata. So I'm expecting them probably, East Coast Bays. I think I'd have to go with them, but only just.
Yeah, North Coast versus Massey. Very interesting game, this one.
Yeah, I think so. Northcote, very much an undercover team, and from what I believe, Messi has had a very good pre-season.
A lot of recruitment, that's all I'll say.
Yeah, I know. I think Messi, if you didn't know any better looking at that Messi team sheet, I would probably, a few players have come from Ponsonby, I'm going to go for Messi.
Absolutely. Silverdale versus Takapuna. Now, this one you'd say Takapuna, but Silverdale, they've also done a lot of recruiting.
Yeah, so I believe, but you know what? I've seen the Takapuna team sheet, and that's a pretty experienced outfit. So for me, I'm actually going to go for Takapuna.
Yeah, Marty Banks, obviously coaching there, my old mate Marty. Anyway, then we go right through the city down to the Southern Motorway down to Counties Manukau, Bombay versus Mangurewa. I would have to say Bombay. You'd probably on paper you would say Bombay.
Yeah, I think so. Last year they had a pretty useful sort of season. The team on top of the hill. I'm like you. Is that a home game for Bombay?
Yep.
If it is, I'll go for Bombay.
Padamahoe versus Papakura.
Now, listen, first of all, I reckon it's great to see Papakura back in the competition with a senior team this year. I believe they've already played a couple of pre-season games this year. So, but on this occasion, I think Papakura might just find it a bit of a challenge today.
Weymouth back in First Division take on Karaka. The Weymouth will realise what First Division rugby's like when they play Karaka.
Yeah, absolutely. Karaka's a very, very good side. I think it'll be far too strong.
And, of course, last night, many would call an upset, but, from what I'm hearing and the whispers I've heard, Ardmore have got a lot of ex-players back. A lot of players have come into the region. And, of course, they beat Pukekohe 30 points to 22.
Quite interesting. They've obviously recruited very well, and last year we saw a dramatic improvement with that Ardmore side, and I believe they actually played your mob last week in a pre-season game.
Yeah, they did. They look pretty good, actually, Ardmore. They look pretty good. Anyway, so that's what's happening there. Anyway, we've got the pre-season and the ARU Cup. Now, I'm only going to do Division 1 because if I'd done all four divisions, the show would be over. So, no offence to suburbs, no offence to Manukau, but this is what I'm covering, okay? Any complaints, call me and we'll have a cup of tea and talk about it.
If I get any texts, I'll direct them your way, man.
Oh, please do, and tell them the texts. Yeah, okay. Anyway, Marist versus G-Tech, Eden versus Varsity, Pakuranga versus Waitemata, and Rifles versus Ponsonby. Looking at these games, everyone said, while it's a trophy, I think it's a way of coaches before round one in Auckland Club Rugby to get combinations going. I want to wish Eden, my club, all the best. Just give it your best out there today, boys. And
exactly. It'll be interesting to see the form of some of these teams. I've just been watching some of the pre-season stuff. I know, surprisingly, Ponsonby, the reigning Galahad Shield champions, lost a pre-season game as a precursor to the Moana Crusaders game last week. And it wasn't about the loss, it was just the size of the loss, which surprised me. But we do know North Shore is a very good side. on paper, but on paper, so is Ponsonby. So you'd probably expect them to bounce back big time.
Yeah, you would. You would indeed. Well, Stephen, as per usual, you will be kept on when you're free. And we just have to be careful of. Sorry, I'll just get this. We just have to be careful of our clubs and all the best.
Yeah, no problems. Well, as you know, I'm involved with my old team, Waitemata, this year as the Premier Manager. God knows what I was thinking, but just want to go back and support the club that's going through.
And I think giving back to clubs.
Yeah.
And I tell you what, later on today we'll be talking some more on Auckland Rugby as we'll be speaking with my good mate, Rob Harmon, the man I probably made the referee was today through my advice, and we'll be talking about the struggles of, you know, they're having and trying to recruit new referees.
Yeah, well, the good thing is I never ever gave Rob any advice from the sideline, mate, so I thought I'd just tell you that.
Yeah, well, I did, and he's, as you know, he has lived on it for the last 15 years, but I'm looking forward to the chat. I think as much as we have club volunteers, referees are very extremely important. Stephen, have a great day, mate, and we'll catch up soon.
Awesome. Always a privilege and a pleasure, never a chore. Take it easy, buddy.
Cheers.
And that was Stephen Harris, and that was our club rugby review. Next up, we're going to talk a bit of rugby league with Joey Green. So just give us a second there, we'll put some music on. Welcome everyone back to the Sports Weekender. Hey, just before we get to Joey Green, this segment is brought to you by WaterSmart. Weekend mission sorted, mate. Wash the car, rinse the boat, clean the bait station, keep the wife's tomatoes happy, all with a WaterSmart tank. No water restrictions, no worries, and different sizes to suit your property. Check out watersmart.co.nz and take control today. Well, I have to say, as soon as I hear the famous words, it's our year, you go, oh my God, please do not say that. And then, but last night, the Warriors were really probably dealt a reality check from a very, very good West Tigers side. Obviously, if you've been sleeping under a rock, there it was the Tigers 34, the Warriors 14. Here to join us, as he does every Saturday morning, Joey Green. Good morning to you, Joey.
Yeah, good morning, mate. Like you said, the Warriors got a bit of a reality check last night, and I think the stat for me that kind of proved, you know, that the Tigers were going to be up for that clash. The previous nine matchups where the Tigers and Warriors had faced off was all Warriors victories. And as soon as I heard that stat, it just kind of felt like this was going to be one of those nights where the Tigers would come to Mount Smart, take over the land and walk away with the 2 points and fly back to Sydney happy as days.
Well, I have to say this right now. When we look at this, I looked at that Tigers performance last night, and you've got to say the halves. There was no Jerome Luai there, but Adam Dewey and Madden, they controlled the game. They were absolutely brilliant. And then, of course, you had Buller at fullback, and of course, Api Carousel, what a player that guy is. But I look at the Warriors, Chance Nickel-Cops had not a bad game. They had some good performances. Jacob Laban, he's improving every week. But I think the reality was how easy it was for the Tigers to slice through that defence.
Yeah, definitely right. Like you touched on Jock Madden, you would have thought, having watched last night's game, that you know he's 100-plus NRL gamer and you know has been in that Tiger setup the whole time. He come into that side, you know, when we saw last week Adam Dewey and Jerome Luai go down, you had a look at this matchup coming into this week and you would have had some concerns, but then you see Adam Dewey line up. He looked a little bit restricted when, you know, when he got a couple of breakaways and he had to, you know, fully stride out. He still looked like he had some hammy tightness, but hey, when you know when you're getting the job done over a very tough Warriors side, then you can do all you want. Kai Pierce-Paul for the Tigers is really starting to have a bit of a breakout here as well. That's a great buy from Benji Marshall. Jareem Buller stood up last night. Api Carousel too, like you said. Yes, he's getting a little bit older, but as you get older, you get a little bit wiser. No doubt, he's probably the smartest player in that side. But the Warriors, you know, where do you start? Chancellor Cook start getting reshuffled to centre. I didn't mind the move at first. Obviously, when you see the shiny toy that is paying to a picky, you want to, you know, obviously get these guys some reps at NRL. And I think it just showed once you got through the middle period of that game why Nickel Cook start is so crucial at fullback. Once Tua Picky went off following Lekker's HIA return, it just the defensively, they just looked a little bit more composed and they weren't quite scrambling. You know, when Tua Picky was at fullback. So I think they need to go back to what worked across those first three rounds. Keep Nickel Klokstar at fullback. Maybe Luke Metcalf could have spent a week in New South Wales Cup just to ease himself back into football.
He's been away he was rushed.
ACL injury.
Yeah.
I think they could have taken him, you know, back to reserve grade, similar to what they've done in the past. You know, you give him 50 minutes in reserve grade, then you give him a full 80, then you bring him back into first grade. He did look like he was a little bit restricted, so maybe, you know, maybe that could be a point next week. Maybe that's why I'm sitting here on radio talking about it and not working for the Warriors. But credit to the Tigers.
Hold on, Joey. But you're working on a great radio sports show. Just remind you of that fact.
100%. But hey, like Luke Metcalf, nonetheless, whether they got the result or not, it's great to see him back in the Warriors jersey. And I think him and Tanner Boyd will be better for this game in the long run. You know, it's the first time they've probably played together in first grade for a while. Tanner Boyd's kind of had the keys to the team for the first 3 weeks and shown he's very capable too. But this combination's going to take time, like we've seen with the Roosters as well. So don't count the Warriors out just yet. They've still got time. It's only week four. There's still another 23 weeks of NRL to play.
Yeah, all's not lost. Admittedly, but as soon as I hear that word, it's our year. I go, no, shut up, Woodies people. And even I might have, well, during my excitement when we're up 10-0, may have said those infamous words it's our year. Anyway, enough of my ramblings. On Thursday, the Roosters 33, Seagulls 16. Tedesco looks brilliant. Nathaniel White had a really good game. The combination of Walker and Daly Cherry Evans. But Kohler for the Seagulls. God, he scored a brilliant try and he was just so dangerous.
Yeah, Tolu Kohler and Jason Saab, very dangerous. You know, obviously they've got the just outright pace that not a whole lot of outside backs do in the NRL. You would have watched that first try for Manly and seeing how the hill erupted, you would have thought they were going to run away, you know, and win 50-0. But credit to the Roosters, they just kept turning up. Their most disciplined, you know, performance of the season. Then this is a kind of stat that really got me, you know, wondering whether the Roosters have turned it around. They completed 50 sets out of 52, didn't give away a single penalty across that 80 minutes. They gave away three set restarts, but compared to when we watched them play the Warriors, you know, in round one, they didn't give away a single penalty, which shows that they've turned around that discipline. They're holding on to the footy, albeit in the wet. It was a very wet night in Manly on Thursday too. And, you know, they managed to get a job done against a Manly side who they've shown glimpses of potential. They've got a really good side there, but you know, I guess the bigger talking point coming out of that, as you know, some Australian articles might have seen last night, Anthony Seibold possibly without a job after tonight.
Yeah, possibly. That's the big news coming out. Also, we on the rest of the Friday night, the last Friday night game, Broncos 26, Dolphins 12. Now, Adam Reynolds has been put under a lot of pressure. A lot of people have said that he hasn't really started well. Well, last night he proved a masterclass. And, of course, Pat Carrigan, he is Mr. Reliability in that Broncos side.
100%, and I think, you know, once Payne House departs for South Sydney come 2027, I think a lot of that pressure is going to be moved onto Pat Carrigan, but he showed last night that when Haas isn't in that side, he can definitely step up to task, you know, lead the forward pack from the front and really just get them on that front foot. Adam Reynolds, like you touched on, a lot of the times when he falls out of that side, whether it be due to injury or suspension, 9 times out of 10, they get a win regardless, and then that's when all the chat starts to come about. Is Ben Hunt a better halfback? Does Adam Reynolds need to, you know, retire early or whatnot? Last night was the perfect reason as to why someone like Adam Reynolds still has another season. In the NRL, opened up the space for Ezra Mamm and Reece Walsh to do what they need to. They made the most of the opportunities. A couple of loose passes from the Dolphins, you know, went to ground, and the Broncos pounced on it and managed to run away with the win. I don't think the Dolphins are too far off, though. You know, you look at the scoreline 26-12, you think that the Broncos kind of ran away with it. The Broncos just made the most of their moments, and that's what's kind of, you know, separates the top four teams from, you know, the next four under. The Broncos ice the moments when they need to. The Dolphins are still very young. I think one change that they could possibly look at is if they have, you know, a real superstar 5'8 to go alongside Isaiah Katoa. I think that's the only thing that they're probably going to need to fix if they want to, you know, finish inside their top four and go for and challenge for a premiership. Other than that, their side is great. They're not too far off. So if you're a Dolphins fan, don't count your hopes out.
Anyway, we look at the weekend's game. Bulldogs versus Knights, Panthers versus Eels, the Cowboys versus the Storm. The first one, Bulldogs versus Knights. Now, the Bulldogs, they're not flashy, but I believe they're real sleepers in this NRL.
No, so do I, because you look at their first two results. When they went to Vegas, they only beat the Dragons by 1 point. You look at their last result as well, they only beat the Raiders by 4 in Canberra. So they've had two very gutsy wins to start the season, and I don't think it's going to get much easier for them this afternoon. The Knights coming off a pretty big loss against the Warriors. You know, Fletcher Sharp comes back into the side, hopefully. So that's going to add a little bit of spark for them. And I think their forward pack will really want to aim up this week too. The whole side will want to aim up, to be fair, after the showing they had last week. So I don't think it's going to get very easier for the Bulldogs. And I'm still expecting them to win. But I think similar to their first two wins they've had this season, I don't think it's going to be an easy one for them.
And then we move on. The Panthers versus the Eels. Nathan Cleary versus Mitch Moses.
I think that's basically, the only way to describe this game is whichever halfback plays the better plays a better game is going to be the side that wins. Like, yep, you've got the likes of Casey McLean, Tom Jenkins, Dylan Edwards, Brian Tuohu, Moses Leoto. You've got all of those kind of players. It's purely down to the sevens this afternoon. If Mitchell Moses turns up and has a blinder of the game, Parramatta always seem to get up for the Battle of the West, and I think if Mitchell Moses fires, Parramatta are walking away with the 2 points this afternoon.
And then we've got the Cowboys versus the Storm. Cowboys are, you know, there's a little bit of pressure on them at the moment, but the Storm, obviously, you know, they'll be wanting to get back on the horse again.
No, exactly right. And Melbourne, typically after a tough loss like they showed last week, like they just didn't come back out in the second half. Usually after a performance like that, we see the Melbourne Storm bounce back pretty heavily. Cowboys, similar to Manly, they scraped through last weekend and got a win. So, you know, Todd Payton holds on to his job for another few weeks. You know, Drinkwater performed quite well last week. Tom Dearden, Jackson Purdue, they've got a lot of strike. They're just going to need to withhold the pressure that Melbourne will throw, obviously, after their result last week. So if they can withhold that, compete really highly and make the most of their moments, they're going to be a chance. But I think Melbourne, you know, going to show a typical Melbourne bounce back and win quite comfortably if the Cowboys can't hold on to the footy.
Absolutely, and of course, then we go to the Sunday games, and the Raiders versus the Sharks, and the Titans versus the Dragon, and probably potentially which could be the competition to see who wins the wooden spoon. But we start off the Raiders Sharks. This should be a close one, Joey.
Oh, and yeah, I'm looking forward to this game tomorrow afternoon. The Raiders, you know, they're a real tough, bashy side. You know, they've got the strong middles of Morgan Smithies, obviously with no Josh Papali'i there. Joseph Tarpini leading from the front, as ever. Hudson Young, Ata Mariota. They've got a really talented side. You add in Corey Horsburgh to that too. Going up against the Sharks side, who they like to play a bit flashy. They've got Nicho Hynes, Braden Trindle. They've got some really gutsy forwards as well. Adam Fanua-Blake seems to be a little bit out of form at the moment, if I'm being honest, buddy. He'll still get a job done and turn up when he needs to. And I think if Cronulla can withhold the pressure through the middle that Canberra are going to throw at them, they're going to walk away with the 2 points. But I think the Raiders, they're just going to need to keep knocking the door down and hope that the Sharks fall away through the middle of the field. So if they can win that battle, Canberra's getting the 2 points. But if Cronulla can hold on, contain the middles and control the tempo of the game, I think Cronulla is going to, you know, walk away with the 2 points there.
And when we all sit, and then the Titans versus Dragon, it is a battle potentially for the wooden spoon this season, even this early in the season.
Yeah, exactly right. There's, you know, not the most exciting game to end the weekend. I think most pundits have kind of caught it, but hey, it's a great chance for, you know, the Titans to keep working on combinations. You know, some of the early conversations, you know, before the team's getting cut, is that Lachlan Ilias might find his way into the halves alongside Jaden Campbell, AJ Brimson. Who knows where he's going to reshuffle to? It could be the centre, could be back to the bench. I think all of it's just got to come through Jaden Campbell. You know, they've got to create space for him. Lachlan Ilias just needs to keep going through what he does to, you know, enable Campbell to have that space. The Dragons just need to work out what page they're on, to be fair. They haven't looked exciting at all this year. Whilst they're playing very structured footy, you know, they're playing very conservative, and they're not allowing the likes of Setu Tu and, you know, Gutherson the chances to, you know, make the most of the ball in hand. Whether they need to bring in a spark like Tyrell Sloan or something like that, who knows where they need to get to. But I'm expecting the Titans to get a win, and you know, a lot more pressure to go on the Dragons after tomorrow night.
Absolutely. Well, Joey, thank you very much. Have a good weekend, and we'll catch up same times, same place next weekend.
Always a pleasure to be on, mate, and we'll chat again soon.
Cheers, thanks. That was Joey Green from Auckland. Well, I was going to say Auckland Rugby League. Okay, he's a rugby league expert. Let's call it that. He's a top referee. Anyway, next up, we're going to talk a bit of cricket with renowned cricket commentator Garth Galloway.
Walking down the street, Johnson riding, I'm trucking right. I heard a dark voice beside of me, and I looked round in a state of fright. I saw four faces, one man, a brother from the gutter. They looked me up and down a bit and turned to each other. Silver chain, he said, I'll give you $1. I said, you got to be joking, man. It was a present from my mother. He said, I like it, I want it, I'll take it off your hands and you'll be sorry. You cross me, you better understand that you're alone.
Welcome everyone back to the Sports Weekend here on Planet FM, and just before we get on to our next guest, a big shout out to Enterprise Recruitment. Finding the right people can be hard and many unexpected surprises. Cut out those unexpected surprises by contacting Enterprise Recruitment, where they will find you the right candidate to suit your business needs. So contact enterprise.co.nz, and they have branches nationwide. So a big shout out to Warwick and Ian there. Anyway, the Black Caps season is over. The White Ferns, they're still going on. They're still keeping on going. But here to chat to us. Last week, I had to bring in Warren Leeds, who felt he needed to call Enterprise Recruitment because he's always been called up at the last minute. But he's back this weekend. Mr. Galloway, Garth Galloway, how are you, sir?
G'day, mate. Wally would have done a great job for you, though.
He is.
Very good, old Wally.
Yeah, he actually is, but he did make a comment that he was off to play 18 rounds of golf and he wasn't in the same category as Garth Galloway when it comes to golf. So yeah.
He wouldn't, or a broadcaster for that matter, but but look, he's a nice man. I have to say, he was a better cricketer, Eamon.
Yeah, well...
Bloody good cricketer, Wally Lees.
Yeah, I quite enjoy Warren Leeds because, you know, like he's very straight to the point, as they say.
Oh, yeah, he's a great thinker about the game. And you know, I mean, there's always that iconic, the 1992 World Cup, and Wally, you know, coached that side and had to blend a number of sort of quite, you know, interesting personalities to get the best out of Martin Crowe and people.
Yeah.
And he did that very well.
He probably was the man for that situation because he's serious but very laid back and has that sense of humour. Anyway, we might as well get into it now, Garth. Well, the Black Caps, Rob Walter, you know, in the last two 2020s, brought in new players, obviously. They ended up losing to South Africa. Connor Esterhuizen, absolutely brilliant.
Esterhuizen,
yeah, I wrote, I can't remember. Yeah. Well, he was absolutely outstanding in the series, but they tried to look in at new depth, and, you know, okay, yes, the series was lost, But at least Rob Walter is looking towards that. His hand was forced due to many 2020 competitions around the world. But looking at this, who have been some of the new players that have impressed you in this Black Caps lineup?
Well, I mean, the first thing first is I think, you know, you look at a guy the series just doesn't matter. That's the starting point, okay, for me. They got into the finals of the T20 World Cup. That was a fantastic effort, you know, over in India. They played very well throughout that tournament, and they brought a lot of players into the squad to give them a go, and I think that was good. I think the New Zealand side would be disappointed with how the series ended up. You know, they were poor in those last couple of games, and so there's a lot of work to do, I suppose, if some of those younger players are to be involved in the future. But they had a good experience. I just thought South Africa actually were just a little bit tougher. I mean, the attack, if you look at the attack there, players like Jameson and Folks with a fair bit of experience now. You know, they obviously miss a player like Santner, who offers so much. Sodi and Co. not playing either. I guess the player, I mean, the guy I like a lot is Robinson at the top of the order. I think he's a player who's quite special and could do pretty well. You know, he looks like a player and I interviewed him afterwards, and he made a very interesting comment, actually, Eamon. He said, you know, I said, what's it like when you get into trouble, you know, and you get out and then out again, and suddenly, you know, you're opening the batting against the quick bowlers. How do you get yourself back into the game? And he said, he made a very interesting comment. He said, well, for me, cricket's not everything, and I've got a lot of other interests in life, so I can keep things in perspective. And I thought that was a very, you know, quite insightful and quite interesting. You know, I liked seeing Cleaver getting a go. You know, I thought he kept pretty well for New Zealand. He's a seasoned player. We saw in the West Indies Test series that when they brought back, you know, Tickner and then brought Ray into the side, that players who have played a lot of first-class cricket and be around the scene for a long time adapt quite quickly to international cricket, or can. And you know, Cleaver, again, I think he did pretty well with the gloves. So it was, I mean, it's a nice series. I don't read too much into the result. Great to see some players being given a go.
Absolutely, and of course, you know, it is a future. But also, the White Ferns—they won the 2020 series against South Africa. They have a one-day series. I'm going to say this right now: Millie Kerr is captain. I think it suits her. I think she's been the star of the series, along with Devine and Jess Kerr. I believe that, you know, I think that women's cricket, while it is an aging White Ferns side, I believe that the players coming through with Millie Kerr as captain, I think they've got a superb future, this White Ferns side.
I think I think you're seeing some signs, and the big thing for me is going to be, what is the culture of the team going to be like under Millie? And I think it'll be better. I think she's a good leader. She has the cricketing smarts, and, you know, they look to be a united and joint group. The other thing that I think is really noticeable for me, and I interviewed her after the Wellington game, after she batted so well, scoring 63, was Sophie Devine. Yeah. You know, for me, she we're getting the best out of her when she's not captain. And having said that, though, she really performed badly when she was captain. She was still a hell of a player, but I just don't think I think she felt the pressure of captaincy a lot. And I think she's much freer now, and I love watching her play. And I'm sorry that her time is in all likelihood going to come to an end at the end of the T20 Cricket World Cup in June in England, because I really feel like she's quite a different player now. She looks a lot more relaxed, a lot happier, and the results are great.
Yeah, and have a look at it. Like, it seems that she's reinvigorated herself back into the side, and I think the main thing is they just seem a very happy side, this White Ferns side.
They do, and some of the younger players, and you've touched on them before. I think Bree Illing is a player of real talent. You know, the conundrum for them is Bates and what they're going to do with her.
Yeah.
I think, you know, we've got 350 over games coming up. I suspect that that Susie will go back to opening the batting with Plimmer. I think the Gaze experiment during the T20 series did not work. That's not to say that it won't work in the future. I think she has potential as an opener, but she had a poor series with the bat. You know, they've got to work out if Susie's to remain in and around the squad, where does she fit? And if she wants to keep playing, I think she has to open the batting in 50-over cricket, and I have concerns about her ability now. I just don't think she's the player that she was. But let's hope, let's really hope that she proves me wrong and gets stuck in. She's a wonderful human being. They obviously love... Yeah, great player.
Yep,
and she has been. And you know, and they love having her around the camp, obviously, so I hope she proves me wrong and goes well. Yeah. Plimmer, I talk about a lot. I'd like to see a lot more runs from her. She's a beautiful striker of the ball. I think she's going really well. She looks like she's finally arrived at international cricket, and she looks comfortable and confident. So, you know, hopefully we'll see some more good things from her. Jess Kerr's been outstanding, as you touched on, throughout the whole season. You know, it's really nice seeing Devonshire and Nancy Patel being given a run in that last couple of T20 games. I love the look of Nancy Patel, just because I think she's a very good bat as well and very good in the field. So, you know, there are some quite exciting things happening. And, of course, they're bringing back Knight from the Northern Brave, comes into the squad as well, and she adds a little bit of pace if she gets on the field.
Absolutely. Well, during the week, it has been decided that the 2020 competition will be a franchise league. New Zealand Cricket resisted going to the Big Bash competition. Since that, Dion Nash has resigned off the board of New Zealand Cricket, which I think is a shame because Dion is a pretty straight shooter and I quite like his opinions. I look at this franchise league and I've been told by several people that I'm old fashioned, I'm an old boomer, I'm this and that, but I will say this right now, I'm going to publicly say that they've got to get this going by towards the end of the year. We don't even know where the franchises are. We will be competing with South Africa and Australia and the Big Bash.
Yep.
The information from Don McKinnon is very, very sketchy at best. And Don, you're more than welcome to give me a call. We've spoken before, but I'm just going to say this right now. How is this going to work? They're talking franchises in Queenstown, Nelson, Dunedin. You know, I don't see anything clear here, Garth.
Well, I mean, I think the thing about it is, and Don's a hell of a good guy. But the thing about this, the announcement is after so much talk, when the announcement finally happened, I think the thing that I was amazed about is just how little it said. And, you know, and so reading through it, I couldn't really see any strong progressive way to proceed. It was much more notable for me about how little it said rather than what it did say. And the problem with that, of course, then it leads to a lot of speculation and people start talking about where are they going to base it, who's coming and all of those things. The fans want details and they're entitled to it. And I admire Dion. You know, I don't know the reasons. And this is one of the other things. I'm hoping to catch up with him and have a chat just to understand.
Yeah.
Because I think a lot of us don't... The information is all very closely held. And, of course, I don't want to talk about confidential things with any of these guys, but I do want to understand, look, what's the whole thing about? Because not many of us really know. I've heard that they're talking about franchises in different places to what you're talking about. So I've heard Queenstown, yes. Christchurch, yes. And then, you know, Tauranga is being talked about because of the climate. They're talking about the potential, as I understand it, again, two in Auckland possibly. I mean, I don't know. You just don't know who to listen to.
Well, two in Auckland doesn't make sense. It just doesn't make sense. Yes, we are the biggest population in New Zealand, and we are probably a major city when it comes to world cities, but I don't think we have the fan base to do this, Garth. And what concerns me, Garth, is that what I'm seeing is that there's nothing coming out. Like, you know, if you okay, I'll put it to you like this: if you're a Trent Bolt, are you going to play for your Tauranga because you want to be patriotic and support this competition, or are you going to take a bigger check in the Big Bash? Of course, you're going to take the big check in the Big Bash.
Well, the idea is that they're played in slightly separate windows, as I understand it. But I, you know, the other thing is, how are they going to get, you know, marquee players here in January next year? That's another question that I think is on a lot of lips. Look, I, as I say, there's just a paucity of information, and that's the frustrating thing, I think, for fans. I also, you know, have talked about, you know, do I really, and my views don't really matter, of course. I mean, I mean, do I really want to go and see a Queenstown Chennai Super Kings team playing against someone? I haven't got a lot of interest in that, to be honest. But it's all about the TV rights. I don't think they'll get particularly big crowds to these games. It's all about selling the TV rights. That's where the money is. And we'll see. You know, I was down at a fundraiser in Mid Canterbury last week doing something at a dinner for them, and we raised $13,000 for some new nets and things. And you look at the regions and how much they're struggling, and I do wonder just how much of this stuff's going to filter down. The other thing, Eamon, just quickly, is women's cricket, and no competition for them until December 2027, if there is one. I worry about that as well. They've got to look after the women's game.
Absolutely. Totally agree. Well, Mr. Galloway, always a pleasure to have a chat, and you have a wonderful weekend, and we will, obviously, I'll be in touch during the week, but
I can't wait, mate. I can't wait.
Oh, I know. Well, wait till you're up in Auckland. I might even visit you.
You can.
You've got security on the door, haven't you? You've got security on the door. Thanks a lot. Bye. Hey, have a great weekend, Garth. Cheers, mate. Bye. That was Garth Galloway. A very, very honest look at this 2020 competition. Okay, next up, we're going to talk to Seamus Martin from Between Two Bears as we speak football.
Stars, and you know how it feels to get too high.
Welcome everyone back to the Sports Weekender here on Planet FM. Just before we go to our next guest, if you're looking to buy, looking to sell, looking to get on that Auckland property market, give Robert Thompson from Barford and Thompson and Epsom a call. Robert has over 30 years of business acumen and will provide you with good advice and the best result whether you are looking to buy, sell, or looking for some advice. Robert's number is 021-737-949, or you can contact him, r.thompson@barfords.co.nz. Well, first of all, we had football last night. It was a big day yesterday in the city of Sales, but here to talk to us is the big guy from Between Two Bears, Seamus Martin. Good morning to you, Seamus.
Yeah, good morning, Eric. Robert Thompson will be as disappointed as the rest of us All White fans are with that performance last night.
Well, he may have been at, I think he may have been at the Warriors, but I think
he'll be disappointed as well then.
I know. I don't think he supports Moana, so that's the only other thing. Hey, but let's have a look at it. Finland 2, All Whites. Now, I am going to be straight to the point. I'm going to come in from a long run-up. Finland look more comfortable on the ball. They look more skilled with the ball. New Zealand, we really lacked. We lacked some spark and attack. When you've got a player like Elijah Just, you need to put the ball on the deck to him. You don't try and get him in an aerial contest. Ben Old looked absolutely brilliant. Jesse Randall had a chance to equalise, but really did show you the class in which he's shown in the A-League. Just your thoughts, Seamus.
Yeah, look, I jotted a couple of points down, and I wanted to talk about, you know, the difficulties of assembling a squad and bringing them together, but then I caught myself thinking, well, hang on, Finland has had to do the same. They've had to fly across the world and come down here into Auckland and get together with a couple of training sessions and then put a performance out on the field. So, look, I can't put my finger on what it was last night around that All Whites performance. It just seemed a bit lacklustre, lacking a little bit of cohesion. I want to give Darren Baisley's side a pass mark, but look, I think he even admitted it. They didn't look themselves during this game. And I know Ben Old has spoken in the media post-match as well. Just, we lacked the fight. We were second to everything. And it just didn't seem, while the All Whites aren't on a fantastic run of form, but it didn't seem like the difficult All Whites we've seen to break down. An uncharacteristic goal conceded from set piece, and then, you know, that sucker punch right at the end when they were pushing to try and equalise. But it's not the dress rehearsal that All Whites fans will be wanting before going to a World Cup. The beautiful thing about football and the beautiful thing about these FIFA series is they do have an opportunity to, you know, you're only as good as your last performance, and they've still got an opportunity on Monday night against Chile. And let's hope for All Whites fans' sakes that performance against Chile is stepped up a notch from what we saw last night, because, you know, a World Cup doesn't come around often enough for football fans. Home matches against quality opposition don't come around often enough. And a real case, in my mind, particularly of a missed opportunity for the All Whites to really get the country behind them and galvanise support as they go into a really difficult World Cup campaign.
Absolutely. And, of course, Chile looked very good against Cape Verde, winning 5-2. Also, just in football, obviously, no A-League men's, but there is an A-League women's game today. It's Wellington versus Western Sydney. Now, I will be straight to the point. Obviously, midweek, the opportunity was lost for the Premiership plate as the Phoenix went down to Central Coast Mariners. Fantastic goal by Macy Fraser, wasn't it? But I will say this, they should win today, Seamus, and at least secure them. If they can secure themselves in the top two, it means they get a home semi-final.
Yeah, a real missed opportunity midweek for Wellington, Phoenix, and for Bev Priestman. You know, two games in a matter of days, perhaps it was a little bit too quick a turnaround for them. But, yeah, look, let's hope for finals football for this side. It really is an important point. You've got me flustered here, because the game's actually tomorrow, because I'm commentating it. But when said today, I thought, ooh, jeepers. Am I supposed to be in Auckland to call it? But it is tomorrow at 4 p.m.
It is tomorrow. And I apologise, Seamus. I confuse you with the EPL. I confuse you every week. One time, why don't we do a segment not actually talking about football?
Oh, look, I had a minor heart palpitations there, thinking I better get my skates on and start to think about what the game is coming up. But look, Sister City Cup for Wellington Phoenix against Western Sydney Wanderers, they should be a side that Bev Priestman's team can account for and secure home finals. I think the Premiership conversation has now eluded them with that midweek result against Central Coast, who seemed to be the bogey side for Wellington in the Ninja A-League. But look, they should be too good. They should confirm home finals. And look, let's hope that maybe, just maybe, there's a chance that the men's side can squeak into the top six as well, because their fortunes have turned around if last week is anything to go by as well.
In fact, their form, when I look at it, I think that would be fantastic if we could get all three of our A-League sides in playoffs. That'd be brilliant.
Oh, look, it really would. And I think, just to loop back to the All Whites performance last night, I wonder whether, just given maybe a little bit of jet lag and a little bit of travel fatigue, because some players are not arriving until Wednesday before the Friday, that Baisley might have looked at playing some more of those A-League players in the first match that don't have the time difference to worry about, that maybe are coming in with a little bit of form, and then play his European players in the second game. Look, we can sit here and relitigate what he should or shouldn't have done, but I just think that might have been an option to maybe give the likes of Lockie Bayliss a start and maybe give Alex Roofer an opportunity to press a claim in the middle of midfield, and then allow those other players the chance to readjust, because I've got no doubt the All Whites will be a different proposition in North America when they've been together for 10, 15, 2 weeks even, of being a more cohesive unit and being able to put some really strong performances on the training pitch and then translate those into match as well.
And of course you would have got the message as I did, major announcement this Monday the 30th, it's basically there'll be a big announcement coming 9:30 on Monday. Rumour has it that it will be Tottenham Hotspur playing Auckland FC at Eden Park in July and August, and which will be fantastic. I think the last time Tottenham played in Auckland, they were in second division, which was before. Now it's probably likely that Auckland FC will be playing them in championships.
Well, if you think back to 7 days ago, I was talking about that Nottingham Forest versus Tottenham game as being a really crucial one, and I said whoever loses that game I think will be relegated. Well, Nottingham Forest heaved a whole bunch of pressure on Tottenham, didn't they, with that big win over Spurs. So look, I do, it's one of the worst kept secrets, it seems, in New Zealand sport, that this match will be confirmed on Monday. Look, it's great for Auckland FC to be attracting these international games down to our part of the world. We saw last night, a really good crowd turning up to Eden Park.
Actually, and really good, especially what was happening in the city with the Warriors and Moana and Albany and the Warriors and Penrose.
Yeah, correct. Look, and it's great to see people voting with their feet too and coming out and supporting these types of events. So, look, I think that's another awesome addition to the sporting landscape, and great that it's in our round ball quote as well.
Absolutely. Well, with the international window, people will be pleased to hear we won't be picking our EPL scores this week.
Yes.
But what we will be doing, we're going to focus on Northern League football. We apologised last week. I totally forgot about it, so I do apologise. As we cover local sports, and this is what it's about. So we start off the Northern League. Tauranga City versus Melville. Bay Olympic versus Western Springs. East Coast Bays versus Birkenhead. They're the first three games.
Well, look, my Melville United are back in the Northern League. A bit of a rude awakening last week, a home game under lights, a 4-1 loss against Auckland United, who look really sharp. This is a local derby of sorts, a Kaimai, Battle of the Kaimais. Look, I'm going to tip that one. I find it hard to tip against my side, so I'm going to suggest that one is going to end up in a draw between Tauranga and Melville. Bay Olympic Western Springs, it's a rebuilding phase for Western Springs this season, but I think they'll be too strong for Bay Olympic. And Birkenhead, I think we're too strong for East Coast Bays. Paul Hobson over there at Burko always has a way of putting together a really strong Northern League squad. He's done the same here. He's attracted Monty Patterson back to New Zealand, former All White. So I think Birkenhead will be too strong in that North Shore battle against East Coast Bays.
Then we go to the other three games in the men's Northern League. Auckland City FC versus Eastern Suburbs. Auckland United versus Auckland FC Reserves. That one will be interesting. And a bit of a southern South Auckland derby, South East Auckland derby, Fencibles versus Manukau.
Yeah, let's start with the, what they call the gridlock derby, Auckland City versus Eastern Suburbs. I think Auckland City, geez, they've still got some really good players. They really, really do. Very experienced, but I think they're starting to be on the other side of their careers. The experience should hold them in good stead, but I'm going to tip Eastern Suburbs to win that game away at Kiwitea Street. In terms of the Auckland United versus Auckland FC reserves, Auckland United were really impressive in my mind against my Melville side last week. I'm going to pick them to go 2-2 at home and defeat Auckland FC reserves. And Fentel versus Monaco. Monaco are the other team that have been promoted to the Northern League this year from the Championship. I think Fentibles might be too strong at home against that Monaco side. They'll be trying to find their feet in the first few rounds of this Northern League.
And, of course, then we go to the Women's Northern League. Auckland... Auckland United versus Western Springs, and that's on the Saturday. Your Mob, Melville versus Fencibles, West Coast Rangers versus Eastern Suburbs, FC Tauranga. So we'll start off with Auckland FC versus, no, not Auckland FC, Auckland United versus Western Springs.
Well, Melville promoted to the Women's Premier League for the first time in 20 years, went away to Western Springs last week and beat them 1-0.
Yeah.
It's a rebuild at the moment for Western Springs, I think. And Auckland United, we know the quality they've got. Geez, I've been looking at social media and seeing some of these signings that they're making, which I still think foreshadows the Auckland FC team that will be in that Ninja A-League eventually. So I think they're starting to build and attract players into the region. So I think Auckland United, who were unstoppable essentially last year, will be too strong for Western Springs. In terms of that Melville versus Fentibles game, again, this probably tells you that I don't fancy Melville to win this game, but I'm going to pick a draw because I find it very hard to pick against my own team. So I'm going to pick a draw between Melville and Fentibles.
West Coast
Rangers, very, very strong against Eastern Suburbs. So look, West Coast for me.
Yeah, and of course the final one, FC Tauranga versus Ellerslie. Sorry, Shay.
No, that's okay. Look, FC Tauranga Moana had a really difficult year last year. They just escaped relegation. In the end, it was Hibiscus Coast that went down. They lost their opening game 6-0 against Fentibles last week, so I think Ellerslie will be too strong, who also look very... they look like they've really assembled a good side in the off-season as well. So Ellerslie, Auckland United and West Coast Rangers for me are the three sides to watch in that Women's Premier League this season.
Absolutely. Well, obviously yesterday we were some World Cup qualifiers. Sadly for Ireland, they went out. Northern Ireland went out. Wales went out. But and, of course, New Caledonia went down to Jamaica in a very close match, 1-0. So by next week, we will know who is going to be in the World Cup, Seamus.
Yeah, really. Look, I know the 48-team World Cup has got its critics in terms of, you know, widening the net out. But I watched that New Caledonia versus Jamaica match, and I've got to be honest with you, I thought before that game kicked off, this could be a bloodbath. I really thought New Caledonia might go into that game and be really outclassed by Jamaica. In the end, you know, a 1-0 win to Jamaica, who have been to the World Cup on two occasions. New Caledonia didn't look out of their depth in that, and they had the backing of the Mexican crowd behind them as well. It was wonderful in my mind to see a team like that have the opportunity two bites away from a World Cup. In the end, it is Jamaica who advance into the playoffs against the Democratic Republic of Congo. And we also saw Bolivia defeating Suriname there. Bolivia will advance to play Iraq for a place at the World Cup as well. But look, it's really interesting and great excitement around this World Cup as it comes to its conclusion. You're right, by the end of play on Wednesday, New Zealand time, we will know the 48 teams that make up that World Cup. And just another little side note or footnote, great to see some Oceania teams in action. You know, Solomon Islands did get humbled by Bulgaria 10-2 in a FIFA series over in Indonesia, but American Samoa making their first steps out of the Oceania Football Confederation, playing in the FIFA series over in Puerto Rico, 4-2 loss against the US Virgin Islands, but great to see those players have the opportunity to perform on a world stage, and shows what the OFC Pro League is also able to do in terms of preparing players for those international matches.
Absolutely, and I have to say also some good news. It looks like end of this month for the return of Chris Wood.
Yeah, look, if there's one thing to take out of the football news this week, it was that Woodsy returned to football for the under-21 side at Nottingham Forest. I think he scored within the first 10 minutes of being on the pitch. So, look, any fears that we had of him perhaps not making the flight to America for the World Cup can start to be allayed. there's still a way to go, but I think based on last night's performance, the sooner we can see Chris Wood in an all-white shirt, the better for our football chances.
Absolutely. Well, Seamus, you have a wonderful weekend. I'm sorry about my performance. I was as bad as the all-whites was last night.
Oh, look, that's the beauty about football, isn't it? You get a chance next week to make amends.
On that note, you have a wonderful weekend, Seamus. Cheers.
All right. Cheers, you too.
Cheers. Seamus Martin, brilliant as ever. Next up, we're going to do some stuff on community participation. We're going to speak to Robert Harmon, the president of the Auckland Rugby Referees Association. Obviously, some news around volunteers, you know, they're struggling to get people to become referees. So I'm just going to play a bit of music and hopefully I'll have Rob on the other side. Welcome everyone back to the Sports Weekend, and now we talk a bit of community stuff. And you know, I love community sports. I've been involved in a rugby club. I know a lot of people that are involved in other sporting clubs. The volunteers who give their time are very, very important to the fabric of New Zealand sports, but also important are the people that have to officiate. And you know what? Referees, you know, they make a big difference. They're volunteers as well. They don't get paid. They sacrifice their Saturday afternoons and Saturday mornings so that games can go ahead. Sadly, in the past, you know, you hear some horror stories about referees. You know, you've got to understand these referees at community level. They can't go to the TMO. They have to make split decisions. And sometimes some people are happy, some people are not. Fortunately, today I've got someone who's going to have a chat to us, and he's a guy I know well, and you know, I've always had a bit of a different relationship with referees, and in my latter years, a bloody good relationship, and especially with this guy. He's the president of the Auckland Rugby Referees Association, Rob Harmon. He's had over 100 premier games refereed over 100 premier games in Auckland, and you know what, he's more or less had to come back to help out. Good morning, Rob. How you going, mate?
Mate, Peggy, great to hear from you. I tell you what, I've been sitting next to my phone on a Saturday morning for years waiting for this call, so I appreciate the opportunity to come on here with you.
Yeah, well, it's good, because just remember, I probably built you into being the referee you are today, where you were in national finals. My advice, and I sadly will say, probably a bit misguided, and I felt very bad that day, but since then you took that, you obviously have motivated you to become not only the referee you are, but the person you are. But let's ask you a few questions. Rob, when did you become a referee, mate?
2004. Peggy, so I've been going a while, mate. Yeah. Over 20 years.
Over 20 years. What did you want to become a referee? What was the reasons for? for that?
Well, back when I started, I was one of the younger guys, which wasn't it wasn't common for a 17-year-old to
want
to
referee.
Whereas now nowadays, it's a bit more sort of slanted towards getting the younger guys involved early, particularly those who have aspirations to maybe become a professional one day. But look, I just loved the game. I was a shocking player, and wanted to get involved. Obviously, being a coach wasn't tenable, given that I had no experience, with playing or anything like that. So gave refereeing a crack, and here we are all those years later.
Yeah, and good on you, Rob. And, like for someone, and you were saying when you started when you were 17, you're right. A lot of the referees, especially when I was playing or managing in restricted grade, they were of the older generation. Occasionally we get the promising youngsters who you see 2 or 3 years later end up to be top premier referees like yourself. But when we look at it, we're looking at from then that you had more volunteers, Rob, and I'll be quite honest, now there's a real struggle for referees and how to get for the recruitment of referees. And I know that you've had to come out of retirement to help out. Actually, last week I saw one of you, my old mate Rob Arcoy, who, he won't mind me saying, he's on the over 60s clubs and he's still refereeing. And Roger Drew is still involved. And Roger, if Roger's coming back to become a premier referee, it'd be like Winston Peters being prime minister. I better not say that. But when we look at it, I really, I think, like, obviously attitudes change, and I think a lot of people, when we see with the referees, I see a lot of younger referees. I also see that, it's refereeing for you guys, it must be so hard just to work out a schedule of where you're going to put people to.
Look, we're fortunate. We get really well supported by Auckland Rugby, as do as do North Harbour and counties and the other referee associations around. They get pretty well looked after by their provincial unions from an administrative side. But it's the same problem. It's not just a refereeing problem. I think it's a volunteer problem across the board, right? The coaches or committee members or anything are, becoming like hen's teeth these days, and people live a busier life. Mm. And I think also after COVID, people sort of really took or paid attention to what they do with their time. So, we saw a bit of a not necessarily a drop-off after COVID, but where people might have, been locks to referee, a game every Saturday, now they may only do 2 out of 4 Saturdays. It's becoming a lot more difficult to appoint. But, there's no secret that refereeing numbers across the board have been pretty stagnant, or in some instances going a little bit backwards. So we just need to make sure that people know that know the positive sides of refereeing, and how that they can it's a really valuable way of contributing back to the rugby community.
And I think it's important. You never thought I would say this, Rob, but I think you guys are so important. And the fact of the matter is that you appreciate a person that, you appreciate a person that takes their time out to turn up to a game. And, to the fans out there, it sometimes isn't going to go your way. Sometimes mistakes happen. Referees, like players, they are human as well too.
Yeah, look, mate, absolutely, and you rightly pointed out before that one thing that's unique to refereeing rugby in particular is that we don't get paid. We get paid with a beer and a feed after the game at the club, but it's pretty much not until you are in the middle for an NPC game these days that you get any money in your back pocket, which is completely different to other sports. But if you were to talk to a lot of our members, I don't think that they, if they were offered any remuneration for their services, I don't think that would probably interest them that much. I mean, it would be nice, of course, but I don't think that would be their driving factor in being a participant in the sport.
And, of course, then we look at some of the referees, and like I look at it like Angus maybe, you know. Remember when Angus first came along, Marcus Payne, who actually, who was the referee out at when Eden won the Gallagher Shield. He was very scared when he saw me at the aftermatch come up to him and then put my hand out to shake his hand. Todd Petrie, very good referee. Maggie Kogawa, probably one of the world's best women's referees.
Yeah, absolutely, mate. We've been really lucky with all those guys. You know, Angus started in the Premier group in 2011, the same year as I did, and obviously our careers have gone completely opposite directions, and good for him too. But you know, he's been a mainstay of professional rugby in New Zealand now for a number of years, and then as you rightly point out, we've now got him, Marcus Playle, Todd Petrie refereeing Super Rugby, and Maggie's in the mixer as well. But Maggie's also, she refereed the Women's Rugby World Cup semi-final last year, and to her credit, and actually to all those guys' credit, you know, if they're available to do so, you know, you'll see them plodding around on a Saturday afternoon in the Auckland colours as well.
And you know what? They're always willing to have a chat and have a bit of a laugh afterwards. And you know, I think this is what I said. That's the big thing is that while we sometimes I may give you advice on there. I think the biggest thing, especially with community rugby, we like to actually sit down and have a chat and have a bit of a laugh as well too.
Exactly right. Well, that's the point, right? That's why we do it. We do it to get involved, but we do it for the connection and for all the positive things. So as you get more experienced, or you get further and further down your career, that's what you cherish the most. It might not necessarily be the 80 minutes in the middle. It might be the few minutes afterwards. Having a beer.
Absolutely. And of course, just before we get on to the new rules, anyone wanting to be a referee, what's the contact details for that?
Yeah, look, if you're in Auckland, if you're in the Auckland provincial area, you can go to arra.org.nz or just search Auckland Rugby Referees on Google, and if obviously people who are up north or down past the Bombays, you know, just Google rugby refereeing, it'll take you to your local association and go from there.
Yeah, because sometimes we have people here on holiday, they might just want to get a premier refs from other regions, they'll sometimes come in to help as well too.
100%, and look, and one thing that refereeing or joining the refereeing association does in time is give you great opportunities to meet new people in new places, and that's just not in New Zealand as well. I've been able to referee abroad many times as an amateur, and those are the unique experiences that refereeing can deliver.
Absolutely. Hey, what are some of the new rules we should look at for in Premier Rugby this season?
I'm not sure that there are many rules that are different to last year, which is good. I should probably get my nose in the law book to tell you the truth now that I'm trying to make a sort of a pseudo comeback. But it's pretty much the same as last year. Look, I think that it's for those people who are going to pop down to club rugby this afternoon for the first time and have been watching Super, just a reminder that it is a bit different around the trial laws that they're doing around 50-22s, taking the ball back and that sort of stuff, and a few game protocols to speed up the play, which aren't necessarily filtering down into club rugby. But I can't actually think of any laws at this stage that are different to last year for club rugby, but I'll stand corrected, mate. I'll shoot you a text message if I'm wrong.
No, not a problem at all. Now, I know for a fact that I've just got one gripe to make, Rob, and I'm going to be honest with you. You guys always have your dinner, and you always have your end of your season awards. Now, a man of my standard in the community, I haven't been invited to one of them. Now you're the boss, you're the president. Can you, maybe make it, possible that I can turn up, hand out a few awards?
Well, I'll tell you what, Peggy, I've never been invited to the Eden Club Rugby Club Awards either, so maybe there's something there. I mean, maybe your people can talk to my people and we can...
Well, you're more than welcome to. No, you can come as my guest.
I'm not sure whether that's a good thing or a bad thing, mate, but I'm sure we can work something out. No, well, I'll tell you what, Peggy, as a reborn supporter of refereeing in Auckland, and as you said, I remember all those years ago down at Mount Wellington War Memorial.
But in the end, you became a better referee, Rob. You became, maybe it was that backhander compliment that made you motivate to become to referee a national final, to have over 100 Premier games.
It quite possibly was, mate. I'll say thank you for that moment. As I'm sure as a 19-year-old, it really kick-started my career.
And in fairness, I will apologise now. My behaviour that day was abhorrent, but I've learnt, and even after that, so many years ago, we're still mates. We can still have a beer. We can still have a laugh.
That's what it's about, mate. Absolutely.
Rob, I want to thank you for making your time available for me today. I will be in touch and we'll catch up during the season. Looking forward to it. Any referees that don't know me, you probably will have already heard of me or be warned of me.
That's right, mate. Awesome. So I appreciate the time and just to reiterate, anyone who's thinking about refereeing, the time is now. Give it a go. You won't regret it.
Yeah, no, and it's good. And I tell you what, they're a bunch of good sorts, the Auckland Rugby Referees Association. Many would say 20 years ago they would never think I'd say this, but I'll say it now. We'll leave it at that.
Mate.
Cheers. Awesome. Thanks, mate. Bye. That was Rob Harmon, and anyone wanting to be a referee, you can email arra.org.nz. I think it's a great opportunity. They do a lot of good. And, it's about, over the years I've given them a hard time, but I think, a lot of them have ended up to be bloody good mates. Anyway, we'll get to the panel afterwards. Riding around in the breeze, well, it's all. Well, it's alright. Doing the best you can. Well, it's alright. As long as you lend a hand. You can sit around and wait for the phone to ring, waiting for someone to tell you everything. Sit around and wonder what tomorrow will bring. Maybe a dapple in. Well, it's alright. Even if they say you're wrong, well, it's alright. Sometimes you gotta be strong. Well, it's alright. As long as you got somewhere to lay, well, it's alright. Every day is Judgment Day. Maybe somewhere down the road away, the end of the line, you'll think of me and wonder where I am these days. At the end of the line, of the line. Maybe somewhere down the road when somebody plays, at the end of the line, the purple haze. Well, it's alright. Even when push comes to shove, well, it's alright. If you got someone to love, well, it's alright. Everything will work out fine. Well, it's alright. We're going to the end of the night. Don't have to be ashamed of the car I drive. The end of the line. I'm just glad to be here, happy to feel that. The end of the line, of the line. It don't matter if you're by my side. At the end of the line, I'm satisfied. Well, it's alright. Even if you're old and quick. Welcome everyone back to the Sports Weekender here on Planet FM, and we come to the final part of the show, which is the panel, the sporting panel. Now, on line one is Mr. Piper, but he's very busy at the moment, so we'll get to him in a minute. But on line two, I want to welcome a person that's been on the show a couple of times, a hell of a good sort, and will provide me with a bit of intelligence, because usually when it's Piper and myself, there isn't much intelligence. Good morning to broadcaster Rowena Duncombe.
Good morning. Great to be with you, and especially with an introduction like that. My goodness, no pressure.
No, there's no pressure at all. Now, I'll see how Piper is. Are you there, Piper? No, he isn't. Well, he's organising his team. Anyway, hey, Rowena, great to have you as part of the show. Lee will join us in a few seconds. Anyway, this week in sports, obviously we've had Super Rugby, and I was just going to say, what a day to be a sports fan yesterday in Auckland, with all three, Albany, Eden Park and Penrose, all being busy with sport and events. But obviously Neil Barnes, Mike Blair, Tanuri Munga comes into the squad, and of course Whitney Hansen named her first Black Fern squad of the year.
Oh, it's been a great week to be a sports fan. There's been so much to talk about. And look, my background, I grew up in Whanganui and I farmed in Taranaki, and yeah, I've had a lot to do with the rugby scene there. So, you know, for Neil Barnes particularly, being brought into the All Blacks new coaching group, there's so much pride coming out of the Naki. There's people getting emotional that I wouldn't have expected to get emotional, just having watched him, you know, his amazing quips about being competitive even at Snakes and Ladders has created a lot of conversations. And I think, you know, the popular take is that he just brings a bit of that old school edge, you know, yeah, that straight talking, high standards, no sugarcoating. You know, he's big on detail. And I think, you know, he goes back to basics, which is just what the All Blacks need. Someone who's going to front conversations and just be themselves no matter what environment they're in, and not come into a media conference sounding like they've just been brushing up on, you know, talking points that are sanitised, yeah, and only going to give us what's been given an okay. We actually just want to hear what's real and authentic. And I think, yeah, it's pretty exciting that he brings that in spades.
And when you look at it, you know, we don't want to hear PR speak. We want to hear, no, honest opinions. And this is
and
what Neil Barnes does.
That.
Yeah, it has, because I think maybe the PR department gets involved and tells them how to speak. I want to, you know, as a fan, I want to see somebody who's going to say, hey, we had a rubbish game out there today, instead of saying they were positives and being honest. And when you look at it, Mike Blair, he's coached with Dave Rennie, and of course Tanuri Munga, he, you know, he'll be coaching the defence, but he also brings a lot of mana being a former All Black captain.
And they're very brave because they know what they're going into. They know they're not just picking up a team where everything is absolutely perfect. They're going in knowing there are challenges, knowing there might be a little bit of lack of cohesion between parts of the team. And, you know, they've been through a bit of a rough ride and a few changes in regime. So this is probably one of the biggest challenges that a coaching group has faced in that environment for a while.
Absolutely, and just looking at it, you know, I actually look forward to the season, Rowena. I really do. And of course, Whitney Hansen, she named her the Hansen era, and the Black Ferns begins. And of course, she named her squad to play in that North American series. Obviously, the big one against Canada. And of course, you know, number of players unavailable due to Sevens commitments. But she's named Dave. She's given some players an opportunity.
Yeah, and that's always an interesting squad, isn't it? Because you've got the balance there, you know, how much experience you've got to keep up those standards versus how many new caps you're kind of looking to blood into the team as well. So, yeah, it's an exciting group, that group, and we do expect a lot of them. And I think, you know, we're seeing changes in our domestic leading into that Black Fern pathway now. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how they go.
Yeah. Anyway, we might as well get on. We hopefully he's online. Your former boss at NZME in Dunedin, Lee Piper, are you there? He's still not there. God, I must admit the show's flying well without him.
It's always a challenge, and that's the thing. You get people like me and the old Pipesy on the show because of our connection to sport, and
yeah,
it just happens that this one's tripped him up this morning.
Oh, I think so, yeah. And when you when you think about it, you know, he's actually going out there volunteering his time, and you know, and this is something we're going to speak about a bit later. But looking at the cricket during the weekend, just before we go to the cricket, your thoughts on Super Rugby? I have to say, Highlanders back on winning terms against Moana. Obviously, the big news was when the lights went out. Well, that probably was, but I have to say, Caleb Tungatau, he looks like an All Black.
Yeah, he does. He's playing exceptionally well and really poised and under pressure. And, you know, that would have been a bit unsettling for both teams last night, but they got on and, you know, did the business. But for me, having grown up in Whanganui, seeing the Hurricanes at the top of the table, that is absolutely superb. But it's starting to become a little bit familiar again. You know, that gap between the top and the rest is becoming a bit clearer. There's been some pretty big scores so far this season. A lot of points scored in a few games. So, yeah, it's an interesting one.
I think the biggest thing rugby has, and, you know, like, I think the product this year compared to last year has been very, very good. But I have to say one thing is that I have to say the hardest thing for rugby union now especially is trying to get the crowds. And, you know, where we are based in Auckland, the biggest, they've got competition from Auckland FC and the Warriors down in Penrose. And, you know, for Moana, if it's not going well, the crowds don't turn up.
Oh, and look, I live 15-minute walk from Eden Park. By all means, I should have probably been at the football last night against Finland. But as a sports fan, you kind of sometimes don't even want to go to a game because there's so much on. You know, you're just going to be flicking between the channels to see how it's all getting on. And it's easier to do that from a place like Shapiro's where there's multiple screens, or even at home where you've got multiple devices. You really have to prioritise, and it's not fun sometimes.
It's not cheap at Shapiro's either.
No, there is that.
Yeah, I can tell you that right now. I occasionally call it there, but it's a good bar. And the truth is, it's like for me, if I finish a day at work, sometimes, you know, you go to your local bar or your local club, and sometimes you think, shit, I should go to the match, but you think, bugger, I'm tired, it's cold, I'm in a warm place, have a couple of beers and just enjoy the game. Hey, just one thing, cricket, Rowena. I have Black Caps went down to South Africa. South Africa, very good. Rob Walter was willing to bring in new players, but I have to say the White Ferns, very impressive series victory. Really impressed with Millie Kerr's captaincy.
Oh, look, it was the Millie Kerr show, wasn't it? It really was. You know, 7 for 34 against Zimbabwe. That is the best ODI figures by a New Zealand woman. You know, it just shows how match-defining she is for that side. If we look at that final T20 at Hagley Oval, you know, her maiden T20 100, 105 off 55 deliveries, that really set it up. And then Leah Tahuhu came through with 3 for 15 to make sure that was all backed up, you know. Just absolutely superb. And, you know, we're not just minnow bashing. You know, this is South Africa. But what happens now is, you know, they've got to back it up in these ODIs as well and not just excel at that T20 format.
Absolutely, and I think the biggest thing is it's that when we look at cricket, the concern I have for cricket is obviously we've got a new 2020 competition now. To be quite honest with you, the detail around it is so sketchy. We don't.
Yeah.
It's just... It just doesn't
more
seem...
More will right. come out. But I think, you know, they recognise they had to try something. And that's the thing. That's when sport is going to really struggle, is if they aren't brave and they don't try and innovate. We saw that even, this is going to sound really weird, but in the Young Farmer Grand Final, which is not... Well, it's kind of a sport of such. We saw that the format of having regional finals and then going to a grand final was getting a bit challenging for all the district finals that lead into the regional finals, especially when you're putting time pressure on volunteers. They tried to wrap it all into one big weekend and then each region. It didn't work, but they tried it and then they learned from it and changed it back to how it was. And I think that's actually fine as well. We are struggling for players. We're struggling for fans. We just talked about that in Super Rugby.
Yeah.
You know, getting numbers to the ground. If you don't try new things and look at different ways of engaging with your fan base, you are going to get left behind. So, yeah, I don't know enough to know whether it's going to work or not. Mm. I don't think anyone does.
They're
having the conversation.
Yeah, they're having the conversation. The only thing is it just seems sketchy, like where are the teams going to be based? Like I'm hearing Queenstown, I'm hearing Christchurch, potentially one in Tauranga. They're talking two in Auckland, which I'll be straight to the point. No, I've lived up in Auckland a long time. You live up here. Auckland sports fans are so apathetic. And we can say this right now. If you have two teams, how much of the population will it involve? Also, there's also talk of Wellington. So, to me, I think the biggest question I have, Rowena, is how many players can we attract? How many marquee players? And hopefully we're not competing with someone like somewhere like the Big Bash over in Australia.
Yeah, because they're going to not come out of that pretty favourably. And I think just locating teams where there's a population base doesn't mean you're going to get a following.
No, and that's it. Looks like Piper's got back to me. God, what's he done now? God. No, he hasn't got back. I've just had a... No, it was someone else texting me, so it's not Piper. He obviously is very busy today. But, you know, I think the opportunity's there. We've got to see if it's going. I think they're really pushed for time. Just so the men's competition, they're hoping to start in December, January of next year. Of 26, 27. The women's competition will start 2027, 2028. And, of course, the big news coming in 2028 will be the World 2020 Cup, which is coming to Australia and New Zealand. Obviously, some venues will be trying to put theirs. Eden Park will probably get one. Tauranga will get one, I think. And I think Christchurch will possibly get one of the games.
Sorry, I just had to mute for a second and cough then, and I missed the final question.
Okay, what I was talking about was, obviously, we've got the 2028 cricket. Yeah. Yeah, I'm looking at the venues, like, obviously, Christchurch, that is a fit-for-purpose cricket ground, Bay Oval. Eden Park will be there, and I think the reason for it is, A, they'll get bigger crowds, bigger populations, and it means that opportunity...
Add more to it though, because just having a T20, they've got to look at what they actually build in the environment for it, what's happening on the ground or in that fan zone beforehand as well, which I'm sure they will, but just make it more of an occasion, because there's so much, as we've been talking about, there's so much to try and get any cut through on.
Yeah, and I think the main thing is, I think sports is now in the world of entertainment. And I think, I'll give you an example. You go to Eden Park for a Super Rugby game, I don't believe there isn't much excitement around there. You go to the Warriors, and especially for families as well too. They see what's happening. You go to Auckland FC, there is a real atmosphere. And even at the Breakers, there is a real good atmosphere.
Yeah, I went to an Auckland FC. I'd never been to a football game in my life and just was amazed at how even the crowd just went non-stop the entire game. It was insane.
Yeah. Hey, we might as well talk about, and I hated to speak about this, but we were speaking yesterday, and one of the things is that obviously we've got a few issues on what's happening in the Middle East, and it's affecting New Zealand, and we're in a potential fuel crisis. Now, I'm going to be quite honest with you. If the levels do change, where this could have a real knock-on effect, especially for community sports. So, you know, I look at this and I go, I'm thinking, if people are sacrificing their weeks not to use petrol, how the hell are the government going to say, hey, well, sports are important? What's important now?
Yeah, I think this is one of the most under-discussed issues facing sport right now. You know, and the fuel costs, they affect the parents, but also your volunteers and your referees, like it is the entire ecosystem. So I believe that families will prioritise sport But to a point, you know, there's a limit before participation starts to drop, because if you're weighing everything up, something has to go, and you don't want to be telling your kids they can't go to sport because you can't afford it. But some families, it is going to really, really bite. So I think if we are serious about community sport, that affordability has to be part of the conversation. And when you also add in the other layers, for some of our junior sports, the fees are potentially going up as well. But then on the flip side, we've got organisations that are looking to drop their junior fees. Counties Manukau for one, Nelson Rugby Club, potentially Newlands and Wellington, you know, they really are having to innovate. And that's something, you know, I'm on a couple of sporting boards. We are going to have to look at, you know, what our contingency plans are and how we make sport still accessible for everyone when things are getting really challenging.
And of course, when we speak about this fuel crisis, you know, will the government, because this is the biggest challenge to community sports since COVID-19. Mm-hmm. And the reason being is that sports have to, you know, they have to be innovative, as you said. But when does, when, you know, professional sports, because it's professional, they become, yes, they must get on the first flight. But if you're, say, in the country, say where you are in Whanganui, you've got to travel all the way to Taihape, you get a bus, and of course that's not cheap. But with the petrol costs and what's considered as essential, well, you know, I feel community sports could be a victim of this.
Yeah, and that's when we look at, you know, is playing on a Saturday the best use of time? Do we need to move that to midweek where people are already in town or might already be at school and try and do it that way? So, yeah, there's a lot to look at here, and I think each organisation will be kind of looking at how they can do those levers. That's only for once a week sports as well for some of that, though. Yeah. There's also training.
Yeah.
But I think back, I was a competitive swimmer for 10 years of age. We were at the pool once, if not twice a day.
Yeah.
So when you add up those kind of trips as well, it's those individual sports that can't just, you know, train up and down the road or anything. That will also really hurt.
It will indeed, and I think, you know, the concerning things is that as we're well aware, clubs are struggling out there now. You know, I try to get hold of someone at Auckland Rugby Union. I'm going to speak to them during the week. Also next week, I'm going to have a chat to Gordon Noble Campbell, who is the chair of Amateur Sports New Zealand, and we had a discussion. And I think in the long run is I think everyone's forgot about sports, especially at the lower level, community level, when it comes to this crisis.
Yeah, well, when people are still trying to work out if they can, you know, get to work, and they've got to use their fuel to get to work, and they've got to work to get their fuel, it just becomes an awful cycle.
Well, for you, you've got a company vehicle, and you need to...
No, because, I do not. I'm putting it up there right now, but also... I have the luxury that I work from my spare bedroom.
Sorry, Rowena.
I don't.
I was gonna say that I've noticed when I've been coming in the mornings on the bus, it is packed, absolutely packed as you're coming down, you're coming into the city, it is absolutely packed. And of course, I think the biggest winners are the electric car dealerships. But anyway, Warriors, did you get a chance to look at the Warriors last night, Rowena?
Oh, I did. And bless the Warriors. They do this to us, you know. 42-18 win over the Roosters, 40-6 over the Raiders, 38-12 away at Newcastle, and then they go down to the Tigers at home, 32-14. So, it is that's rugby league, though. You know, I think the whole competition is actually more close and volatile than we sometimes realise. It's always some interesting results.
I've just got to say this. As soon as somebody said, they put out the words, I think it's our year, and of course I was in a place watching it, and Laban scores the second try, go, it's our year, and all of a sudden reality hits. Hold on.
It's the biggest jinx and history, those three words.
But in fairness, the West Tigers were superb. I watched that. I was flicking between that, the football, watched.
Moana Pacific.
Yeah, which was, then I watched that and all I got was a dark screen, but we won't talk about that. But anyway, what's caught your eye over the sporting weekend, Rowena?
I'm looking forward to seeing how this ODI goes between the White Ferns and South Africa. I really do want to see if they can step up at that bigger level from the T20 and just see how they go. And, of course, all eyes on the Hurricanes for me, as usual.
And, of course, we've also got Liam Lawson, whose first practice run, he was 12.
Yes. Yeah, which is great. He's doing really well, and I know some of the top drivers, like last weekend or the weekend before when he was racing in China, did pull out, and so that can kind of almost inflate the results, but you actually have to be on the track to be in the points, and he's on the track.
He certainly is, and you know what? I was speaking to Sean Summerfield, who is our, who appears on the show and is also a superb motorsport expert. And he just said to me, he goes, Liam Lawson has got such a great opportunity, and by having a really really good season, he will secure himself for a number of years in Formula One.
Yeah, absolutely. He's so exciting, and I'm glad he's starting to get a bit more in the mix of things, which is really good. And then, of course, we've got Israel Adesanya fighting on Sunday. Tomorrow, is it?
Yes, he is. And I'm going to be straight to the point now. I know a lot of you, as you know, you've met me before, Rowena. I'm of a certain age group. So I'm basically, I'm a very post-boomer type thing. I like UFC, but the biggest thing I don't like, and maybe it's me being old-fashioned, I just don't like the bad language he brings out.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, no, I just think it's not good, especially when there's when there's children watching. That is not an example of what our sports people should be doing.
Yeah, exactly. You can be a bit more wittier than that.
Yeah, not saying that I've never used a bad word. I think, but especially when you're on TV, I think it's just not good at all.
My language is atrocious, but I wouldn't use that on television either.
Oh no, you're okay. I've never heard bad language out of your mouth, Rowena. Thank you so much. Don't know what happened to Piper in the end, but thank you.